Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, as we come to you from the Gwynn Room in Carson City, a lot of institutional knowledge. Sean Whaley is here. He's the capital correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Guy Rocha and John Sandy IV. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
As a Nevada business owner, you know how important your workers' comp, accidents, and premiums are to your bottom line. Pro Group provides the leading workers' comp programs in the state. So when we're on your team, your hard-earned dollars stay right here in Nevada. With us, your premiums are an investment in your business. We provide long-term security and stability for your company. Pro Group prides itself on being a Nevada business that does business in Nevada. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers Broadcast Headquarters, here is Sam Shack.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Sean Whaley. He is the Capitol Correspondent for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
This has not been a typical session so far.
It has not. It's been very unusual with Mr. Brooks sort of taking attention away from the process. Senator Roberson and some of his colleagues coming out with a mining tax proposal early on. It's definitely been an unusual session in that regard.
And mining is kind of regrouping. They had been doing tremendous advertising to the public and obviously to the legislature over the last several months. All of a sudden, in the second quarter, it all seems to have backed up as they try to regroup. Are you getting any sense of what's going on there?
I think they may just have to be ready to deal with the resolution that will probably go to the ballot if it's approved in the Assembly, which is very likely that will remove their constitutional protections for how they pay the net proceeds of minerals. So I think they're going to have to focus to 2014 in dealing with the public perception of mining. How that'll work, I don't know, but they'll probably be spending quite a bit of money along with a lot of other groups to get their message out on that issue.
And the irony is we tape this on the morning of the 15th, tax day, is that the price of gold has dropped tremendously over the last week or so, and we're down around $1,400.
Yeah, it has, and I'm not exactly sure what the rationale is for that. I don't follow that process very closely, but clearly if the price goes down, the public perception may change somewhat. I don't know for sure.
What I was listening to on the radio as I was driving in this morning was that gold is seen as a good hedge against inflation. We haven't seen the inflation. It doesn't look likely that there's going to be a whole bunch of inflation, and people are putting more money into the stock market as they see that continue to boom.
It is booming, and clearly people want to put their money where they think they're going to get something out of it, and right now the stock market seems to be a good place to do that, at least for the time being anyway.
As we started off our coverage last week, and we will continue to do so this week, we've had a lot of the leadership from both houses on the program, and we're looking forward to having the governor on the program and also State Senator Michael Robeson. He has not had the easiest time as this session has started out.
He hasn't. When you see Republican leaders come out for a tax proposal early on...
Did that stun you?
It's a mining tax, and it did stun me. I was shocked that Republican leaders in the Senate would propose such a thing, but they seem to be sort of left out there to hang. You expect maybe others who are looking for more tax revenue to fund government might rally around them, but they were sort of left whistling in the wind there, and the governor certainly didn't back them up, and their own Republicans in the Assembly didn't back them up. So it's a situation where clearly I think they might have been caught by surprise by that.
State Senator Mark Hutchison, in his first session, a very conservative guy, represented two Nevada governors fighting Obamacare, represented the Republican Party in redistricting. I was surprised that he signed on to this mining tax.
I was too, but he's a freshman, and I think he's maybe going along with his leadership. And I think what the real issue there is the teachers' tax that will be on the ballot in 2014 now is considered so scary to a lot in the business community, the Nevada business community, that they're willing to seek an alternative in an effort to maybe derail that. I think that's the real objective here, is let's find something more palatable. I've asked the governor about that several times, and he just is absolutely adamant about not wanting to offer even a competing measure, but it's only April.
To say the least. We had a great interview with Speaker Kirkpatrick last week, gave her the whole show. She's a different kind of speaker.
She is. She's very down to earth. She's charming. She's very informative with her new members. And there's a lot of freshmen in the Assembly, freshmen and women. And she's done a heck of a good job of explaining to them the process and letting everybody know what's going on. And as a new speaker, I think she's really set a great tone for that body. And I've been very impressed with how she's done her job.
One of the things that struck me about our conversation was how she talked about her priorities, which are, you know, the things we need to get done now, the things that can wait. And you don't usually hear that kind of conversation.
No, she seems very pragmatic about how to get things done. Clearly, she's going to want to do as much as she can for public education, more so than the governor maybe right now. And that's, again, a question of revenues. I'm sure the governor would probably love to put more money into public education if he could find that revenue. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Economic Forum coming up. That's kind of a next big date, May 1, when they take a look at the revenue picture. If there's more money, that'll make everybody a little happier. I don't think the Democrats are going to get all they want with all-day kindergarten for everybody. It's going to have to be a middle ground once again.
And it was interesting, her comments on prevailing wage, which was there's not going to be any capital projects because the governor swept that fund, and so therefore let's not worry about it for a couple of years.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. The public works budget used to be as much as $500-700 million every biennium when property taxes were generating the revenue to get that done. But the last couple of sessions, there has been just a very minuscule amount of money, most of it going to maintenance projects, roofs, boring things like that that are important, but not enough to really create a situation where you're going to have big projects. And schools the same way. You don't see a lot of school construction. There may be some rehab of some schools that desperately need it, but the big construction projects and public works, you just don't see them.
What do you think about the Washoe County school bill?
Well, I think they've made a good case that they need more money to renovate some of their schools. They have a lot of schools that are quite old, and they've done a good job lobbying the legislature to try to get some revenue to do that. I don't know how the public is going to perceive that, if they're going to be on board with new taxes to do that. But I think, obviously, if you are a parent and you have a child in that district, you're going to be thrilled with any efforts they can achieve in that area.
Your friend Ray Hager made a point of picking up on the fact that Speaker Kirkpatrick was not happy at all that the Washoe County legislators were not present at the hearing on that. And doesn't that send a giant signal to every local official that if you've got a bill coming up in that committee, you better show up?
Well, she's got a good memory. She remembers all kinds of things. She represents North Las Vegas, and she took North Las Vegas city officials to task over a tax distribution bill that passed through. So even though she represents that area, she was not happy with those folks, and she told them so in very plain language at a hearing. So she doesn't mince words. She doesn't play games. She tells you what she thinks.
And she's doing a good job. Back with more with Sean Whaley when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com. The all-new Tamarack Junction Steakhouse and Lounge is now open in South Reno. You'll enjoy signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. The all-new Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge, inside the Tamarack Junction, just north of the summit on South Virginia.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Sean Whaley, the institutional knowledge of the Las Vegas Review-Journal when it comes to politics. Tick Sagerblum has just had, and it's almost like there's not a day that goes by that his name doesn't come up with a piece of legislation.
It's really true. He's been the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee this session, and he's done, I think, a very good job. He's really reached out to his Republican colleagues on that panel, and he's just a machine. He's got bills. Every day there's some new bill that he's dealing with. It's the repealing the prohibition on gay marriage, or it's medical marijuana dispensaries, but he's got a lot of irons in the fire. I don't know quite how he manages it all.
And a lot of, you know, tough issues. These are not easy things to get through.
They're not. He's definitely taken on some challenging issues, but I think he perceives the opportunity there when you look at the poll results that Rand did and you see support for marijuana legalization, even though that bill did not pass the deadline. Medical dispensaries. He's concerned that people are allowed to have medical marijuana, but there's no way to actually possess it. And gay marriage, the same thing. The Rand poll results showed that most people favor repealing that, and I assume that the results are reliable and verifiable. So I think he sees opportunities.
Yeah, Glenn Bulger poll.
So. Yeah, a very, very reputable organization, so I don't question that at all. And I think he sees opportunities here to make a difference.
The governor's role in this session so far, it seems like he's playing the role of, you know, a judge, which of course he was. He's played many roles, you know, in this city. But it seems like he's not stepping out in front of anything. He's waiting for things to get settled before he wants to comment.
I think you're right. I don't see him actively pursuing lawmakers. He may be meeting with them in his office, so on, but I haven't seen him in the building much at all. And I think he's waiting to see what the Economic Forum comes up with, and that will give everybody a chance to sort of start the end game of how much money will there be for education, how much money will there be for mental health issues, that sort of thing. And for right now, he's just sitting back and letting them process legislation and waiting for the right time to come in and maybe strike a deal over some of the issues he has for education reform that he would like to see accomplished this session.
Were you surprised? Another resignation on Friday, which is, of course, the day that people like to drop news of resignations because they hope it gets buried in the weekend cycle. Of course, we bring it back for him on Monday. But his policy director gone.
He is gone, and it is unusual. He's lost his superintendent of public instruction. He's had some staff shakeups. This is another loss. I don't know the real reason behind why it occurred, but it does seem to be difficult for his administration to move forward in a lot of these areas if he's constantly losing valuable key personnel. Then he's got to replace them. They've got to hit the ground running. It's got to be tough for him, but it's just the nature of the game, I guess.
One of the things that I've heard several times now from legislators is that they want people to be concentrated on the business of the legislature at hand, and not be concerned about people running for other offices. Of course, in the last session, we had Stephen Horsford, John Asagera, even Marcus Conklin were all running for some kind of office or another. What do you hear about that?
Well, we do have a situation in 2014 where the governor's going to be running for re-election, and all the constitutional officers are termed out, so there's going to be some maneuvering there to see who runs for what office. And you don't see it so much in the Assembly and the Senate, where I don't see a lot of emphasis on people worried about coming back for the next term. They do seem to be focused on the issues at hand. So I haven't seen that be a big factor in the session so far.
Institutional knowledge. You know, because of term limits, we lost so much over the last couple of sessions. Losing Lauren Malkovich, the head of the LCB, how do you feel the LCB is handling the volume of bills, and are they able to keep up with what they need to keep up with?
Well, I think they're doing the best they can. Obviously, the situation with Stephen Brooks preoccupied a lot of people in the legislature and their staff. The legal staff, so on, had a lot to do with dealing with the Supreme Court case that was ultimately dismissed, and still having to do all their bill drafting duties. And I heard a lawmaker in committee the other day when they were talking about annual sessions say this proposal that they've got, which would allow breaks in between some of the meeting days, is needed for staff, because he says they do a great job, they're excellent, but they make mistakes because they're exhausted. They're working 18 hours a day, 6-7 days a week. So it's clear that the intensity of this 120-day session that we have now, especially if you have a distraction, is affecting how well they can do their job, and it's just not for want of trying, it's just a reality.
You know, what's scary is if they're doing 16 to 18 hours now and we're just past the halfway mark, Lord knows, you know, going to need a lot of caffeine. I think Comma Cafe is going to be doing some land office business.
Very much so, yes.
Stick around. Join the pundits, will you?
I will. I'm happy to.
All right. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, Safe Ride Home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services, and here's just a few of their satisfied customers to tell you why.
They are courteous, fast, and responsive to all my needs, very competitive rates. They get the job done the first time, every time.
He did all my area rugs, they did my oriental rugs, and I'm satisfied with them.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's forever Evergreen.
At Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield, we know you need health insurance that covers your family as they grow.
Sorry, Dad.
Oh, good.
And if you don't get health insurance through work...
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers coverage your family can count on.
Whoa, slow down, Chief.
Especially parents. Whether you need basic coverage for yourself or more protection for your family, Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield offers a variety of coverage options for different needs and budgets. If you're self-employed, retiring early, or can't get health coverage at work, call Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield today for a free quote. Call 1-800-868-0714 or visit anthemforhealth.com to compare plans and apply.
Get that number?
I wrote it down.
Affordable coverage from a name you can trust. Anthem Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Sean Whaley has kindly consented to stick around. Guy Rocha is here, the former Nevada State Archivist, and John Sandy IV, attorney and lobbyist with Fenimore, Craig Jones, and Vargas. You had some thoughts about mining.
Well, yeah, I mean, right now we're seeing kind of a precipitous fall of precious metal mining on the market, you know, and, of course, stocks as well. And I guess there's some belief that, well, perhaps we shouldn't be pursuing Senate Joint Resolution 15 to change the tax policy in our state constitution. I see that as independent of whatever's happening with the mining industry and the market, that we need to level the playing field and have the same tax policy for every business. Then we can introduce bills, and if the economy is bad and mining can't sustain tax increases, people can fight that. But fundamentally, that fight cannot be made in the legislature now. You have to change the Constitution first. It's long overdue, and I think it would be great for the 150th anniversary of Nevada statehood to undo what was done in 1864.
Okay, but isn't gaming treated differently in the way that they're taxed?
Not in the Constitution.
Oh, it's not in the Constitution.
The Constitution is what's critical to me, is that there should be no business in the Constitution where their tax policy is defined there. It should be defined in the statutes, and that legislators every session, whether it's casino gambling or insurance or banking or mining, will address it during a legislative session.
John, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, there's so many. I mean, we're opening a can of worms here, I guess, and kind of to your point you and Sean were talking about in the earlier session is that I think the mining has come to the forefront with SGR 15 this session, in large part because a lot of the Republicans in the Senate feel that the margins tax is such a bad tax. And so rather than vet the benefits of a mining tax and weigh the policy on each side, we're trying to propose a tax that's not as bad as another. And I would much prefer that we had the discussion, got everything out on the table, and said, if we're going to redo our tax system, what makes the most sense, rather than just trying to pick the lesser of two evils.
Doesn't this take you, Sean, back to 2003?
It does. The debate over taxes back then with the Governor Gwynne was quite a difficult process.
And then it was called the gross receipts tax.
And they tried to push through a business tax proposal, but ultimately they ended up with more of a payroll tax as a compromise, and now here we are again talking about taxes.
It was interesting in speaking with Marilyn Kirkpatrick. She said that she has gone through every single one of those studies that have been. And we always talk about the study sitting on the shelf. She is not letting them sitting on the shelf. She has literally been going through them. What do you think about NV Energy coming up over the last week or so with this grand plan to get away from coal-fired plants? But there seems to be a lot of nuance to what's going on behind this.
I don't know the nuance. What's going behind it? They're moving away from coal. Fired plants was a surprise to me, and of course they were taking heat from the Moapa tribe down there in southern Nevada and the rest. But I'm not inside internal corporate, so I really don't know where they're going. Of course, they were taking a lot of heat from Harry Reid and Senator Reid. Senator Reid was making life difficult for them. Perhaps there's been some rapprochement. I don't know.
Your thoughts on this?
Well, I guess first I would have to disclose that our firm represents NV Energy, but I think that Guy said it pretty eloquently. I think that there is a large push to get away from quote-unquote dirty coal, and this is NV Energy's being proactive in that regard, and they're probably trying to score some points with Senator Reid. I think a lot of people wouldn't fault anybody for trying to be on the good side of the majority leader's ledger. So I think you're just seeing them being proactive this session.
And it's interesting because, Sean, the cost to the public is not going to be slight. I mean, when you take it over a 10 to 20 year period, the cost of energy to the consumer is going to be quite large.
Exactly, and that's a concern when you go away from the cheaper coal and move into different alternative energies maybe that will support their energy plan. You do have to look at cost, and clearly the PUC and clearly the consumer advocate there are going to play a critical role in trying to evaluate the balance, because people are having a tough time right now in Nevada, and the more they pay for energy, the less they can spend on other things, and then maybe a question of being able to pay the power bill for some folks right now. I don't know.
And Guy, NV Energy obviously is being pragmatic. We saw them being pragmatic when they decided not to go ahead because they didn't have a choice in White Pine County with building those coal-fired plants. But we're going to have to see more natural gas because these renewable energies, they have to have something as a backup, because when the wind isn't blowing and the sun isn't shining, you still have to have the electrical generation.
No doubt. And, while I am a supporter of renewable energy, the problem is renewable energy is more expensive. Natural gas is very cheap right now. And we have to recognize that as we move ahead and plan for the future, we need that natural gas backup. I mean, I'm supportive of that, because the question being is, when will renewables ever be competitive without subsidies or legislation that compels a state to buy some of that energy. It's problematic.
And the oil industry still gets huge subsidies, even though they make incredible amounts of money.
Any energy company gets huge subsidies from the government. But I think also to the point in the costs of all of this is that's always going to be a balance. I mean, renewables are a lot more expensive when you compare them to their fossil fuel counterparts. But the other cost driver is the transmission. You have to be able to get the energy from the renewable resource area to into the power grid, and that is tremendously expensive. And that's part of why you would see some pushback and weighing the benefits of the lesser carbon footprint to the costs that are going to be associated with that.
And Sean, you get the last word here. Senator Reid certainly continues to be the powerhouse in the state.
He certainly does. I don't doubt that NV Energy gave that some real thought when they came up with their plan, and certainly he will not be disappointed with that proposal. He's been a strong advocate for moving away from that for a long time now, and clearly it can only be a benefit for NV Energy to have a good relationship with that senator.
And let me pose a question that no one needs to answer, but that is, will the ENN project, which is this huge project near Laughlin, which will be a solar panel factory as well as a solar power plant, move ahead because of these moves? Thought for another day. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Internet just got in a shipment of 2012 Jetta SE 2.5s, and they're all priced at $16,988. Pick your color, pick your payment. Plus, get finance rates as low as 1.15%. Why pay the difference if you can't tell the difference? At Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
We're at Paul Schatz Bakery in Carson City for the very first test of Smell-O-Vision. Professor.
Today we demonstrate the future of television. And what better place to test Smell-O-Vision than at Paul Schatz Bakery? Just take a look at these delicious cakes, pastries, and fresh baked bread. Now everyone, come closer to your TV. Yes, closer, closer, and... Oops, back to the drawing board.
Don't wait for the future of television. All roads lead to Schatz Bakery in Carson City. There's fresh bread ahead.
If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, or any other life-changing calamity, how can you be sure you'll receive the best advice and help with your claim?
At Galloway & Jensen, we have the answers you want and the experience you need.
Insurance adjusters are trained to act like your friend, but they're also trained to take advantage of you.
We work for the insurance companies,
and we won't let them take advantage of you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway & Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should too.
Bring your tax refund to Reno Auto Sound. By March 31st, mention this ad and get an extra $20 for every $100 spent. Come in and browse our huge selection of stereos. Guys, check this out. Get your sweetie a remote car starter for only $199 installed. Girls, how about new window tinting for your guy as low as $99 any car? Financing available with no credit check and 95% approval rate. That's awesome.
I'm heading down to Reno Auto Sound. Reno Auto Sound.
Internet just got in a huge shipment of 2011 Mitsubishi Endeavor all-wheel drives, and they're all priced at $17,988. Pick your color, pick your payment. Plus, get finance rates as low as 1.15%. Why pay the difference if you can't tell the difference? At Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, State Senator Mark Hutchison will be here. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.